Welcome back to week 11 of Mental Health Integration, part 2, Resourcing the Church. We are going to start this week with a quote from Stephen Fry, and then we are going to jump in. So here is that quote. If you know someone who's depressed, please resolve never to ask them why. Depression isn't a straightforward response to a bad situation. Depression just is, like the weather. Try to understand the blackness, lethargy, hopelessness, and loneliness that they're going through. Be there for them when they come through the other side. It's hard to be a friend to someone who's depressed, but it's one of the kindest, noblest, and best things you will ever do. As a church, our job is to do the kindest, best, and noblest things. And being a church working with mental health issues, we can start to do those, and we're just trying to build them well. Now, we talked last time about how we would build this in layers, and that those would continue to go out. We've already worked on our theology of mental health, so that we're consistent in our language and our speech and our understanding of what mental health issues are and how they impact each other. Now we're going to start talking about resourcing. And the reason resourcing is so important, most churches that I have talked to have a resource list in place. But often that resource list is old, it's out of date. The therapists on there often aren't practicing anymore, or they've moved out of state. And the resource lists often also don't actually have the information on them that you need to have on them. So I want to go through how to build out your resource list to make sure that it's great. And then in the next section, we'll continue on our sticky note with preparing and breaking stigmas and doing those sorts of things. So that all will be in actually the last section of this week. In this section, we're going to be talking just about that resource list, how to build it out, who's on there, why, how, all of that fun stuff. So what you need to know first, do the good thing. We need help with this mental health thing in order to get through well. So let's go ahead and do the good things. Here is our to-do list. We need to build a resource list. We need to prepare. We need to break stigma. We need to make space. And we need to do them in that order. Otherwise, we'll try and do too many things simultaneously. So for this section, we are going to work on building that resource list. If we do not have a resource list, and we work on breaking stigma and creating space and doing all these things, oftentimes we have needs that we don't have answers for. While we're trying to manage a program that's now going, while we're also trying to figure out what's going on with managing volunteers and everything else, you just get too much layered on top of each other, and it's really hard to manage. It's much, much, much easier to build it beforehand. And as somebody who decided to build the plane in midair, learn from my mistakes. It's just so much easier and better. So, why your resource list first? It's just like you said, just like we just said. If you need a resource for someone with depression and you just have it, that makes your life so much easier. Your goal with working with mental health as a church is that you are going to move the power down the organization as much as possible. You do not want, as the senior pastor or as any pastor, to have every need come across your desk and you to be the person responsible for making that need happen. That's way too much. If a quarter of your church comes tomorrow and says, hey, we have mental health needs too. Where do we find this resource and this resource and this resource? And hey, I need this spiritual guidance and I also need this other thing. You will be overwhelmed before you even start at something. But if you put systems in place to push that power down the system and enable other people to share their stories and volunteer and work to make a difference, you give them a voice and you allow yourself the time and the space to do the job that you need to do. Because your job responsibilities as a pastor aren't going to change. They're not going to get less because you started mental health ministry. They might change, they might improve your church, they might do some really cool things, but it's definitely not going to be that you suddenly have nothing else on your to-do list. You still have a job that you have to do. And if you're bivocational or something like that, you already have two jobs that you have to do. So trying to figure out how to do that, and often means figuring out how to be scrappy and put things together before you need them so that those resources can be as effective and efficient as possible for you. What do you need on your resource list? Now, a lot of these things are going to look very familiar because they're things that we already talked about when we talked about getting your own personal therapist. But there's some additional pieces of information that we need to talk about because you need to break out your resource list with extra things than you do for an individual. For instance, with therapists, as an individual, I need a total of one good therapist to see me. They need to be a good fit, but I just need one. If you are building a resource list for a church, you probably need several, because even good therapists might not be a good fit for your people. For instance, my wife's therapist is phenomenal. She was not a very good fit at all for a friend of mine who understands what good therapists are. And he just said, she's phenomenal for somebody, but not for me. She's not what I need right now. That's great. That's not a problem. Things are bad fits sometimes. But because of that, you don't just need one therapist on your list. You need several. Okay? On your resource list, you will need therapists. You will need psychiatrists. You will need community mental health services, and you will need community resources. And ideally, you will have more than one of all of these. Now, with therapists, we've already talked about the quality of a therapist. We talked about that in finding your own therapist weeks ago. So if you need to go revisit that, please go revisit that. The really brief version of that is they need to be a good therapist. If you need to find good therapists, the best place to look is if you have a one name for a good therapist. Ask them who other good therapists are. It's almost like good therapists travel in packs. They'll know each other. Another great place to look for great therapists is if you contact any schools of therapists that are in your area. Living in Denver, there are currently, I believe, 8 schools turning out therapists in the Denver metro area. If I would go talk to the faculty of those schools, they will tell me which therapist they would recommend. And if I follow those recommendations, I will eventually find some really, really great therapists. If I also know that some of the schools in my area are faith-based and I'm faith-based, I might find some great faith-based therapists because of that. For instance, in Denver, Denver Seminary and Colorado Christian University are both in Denver, and both of them have masters in counseling, masters in counseling degree programs towards licensure. Well, that helps a lot. Now you know that there's a couple programs that are churning out therapists, and if you go talk to the professors of those programs, they probably know who some great therapists are, who even match your worldview. That's fantastic. So go find the first place to find those. If you need additional ways to find resources or additional ways to find counselors, ask other pastors in your area. If you still can't find resources, look for telehealth resources. Especially since the pandemic started, there are a lot of telehealth resources available. One of the organizations that comes to mind is called Sondermind. All they are is telehealth therapy, and now it looks like they might be branching into psychiatry. I don't remember if they are or not. But look at what resources are available and find what's going to work best for your area. Now that you've found some therapists who are hopefully really good, you need to ask, okay, what is their specialization? Now, this matters a lot. On your list, because you'll build a resource list, there's always a resource list, put down their specialization, what it is, and also put down what kind of populations they work with within that specialization. You want the most information possible to make sure that you can make the best possible referral. So just get it all on paper. a key thing here is this therapist faith-based? In therapy, this can be a really, really important thing for some of your folks. For some of your folks, it may not be helpful at all. But both of my counselors that I've had in the last 10 years have been Christians, and they've walked me through identity issues and issues that, to be blunt, I couldn't have walked through this way without a faith-based clinician. Since your clinician is getting into the muck of your life, sharing the same faith and the same worldview can be really a positive experience and really helpful. However, that may not be the case, or it may not be as necessary with community or psychiatric resources. It really is the case with therapy, though. The last thing on this list is biblical counseling. And there are master's programs in biblical counseling, and some churches really promote biblical counseling. Biblical counseling is not the same as licensed professional counseling, and in some cases it can be really helpful. In some cases of especially minor things that you're walking through, I've seen some great outcomes. I've also seen incredibly terrible outcomes in cases of severe mental illness or severe trauma. So, I'm not going to say this is what you should do, but if you have biblical counseling that comes up, that specific term, I personally would not recommend a biblical counselor. I never have, because I believe there's a lot of other counselors who are better trained and who do better work. I'm sure there are some phenomenal, phenomenal biblical counselors who would love to prove me wrong on that, but I haven't seen it yet. Now, when we talk about therapists, when a therapist graduates from school, they'll have at least their master's, and they'll graduate generally doing talk therapy. And there are a lot of different modalities of therapy that they can interact with. So here are a few of those. You want all of these, if possible, on your list. If there's an exception to that, it's probably the bottom one. But you want as many modalities as possible nailed down on your list. And you need to know what those modalities are and what they mean. And there is more than is on this list because there are so many. There are a lot of different types of therapy. So I highly recommend find a good therapist and then start going through the rabbit hole. Or find a good program and start going through the rabbit hole. But here's some ones that you need to be aware of. Okay. With trauma, you want specific therapies. A lot of the time you'll see EMDR after a trauma therapist's name. That's because they do a therapy modality called EMDI or eye movement rapid desensitization. So this is something that actually rewires your brain. In the case of trauma, it's been proven incredibly helpful for like veterans and rape victims and all sorts of things like that. You want those resources. So if you find somebody, write that down. You'll also want addictions therapists. Dealing with addictions is not like dealing with normal talk therapy. There are specific things that you need to know. It rewires your brain. It changes how you think. So you want specifically addictions therapists. Addictions therapists normally have what's called their CAC, their Certified Addictions Counselor. It's a post-grad licensure or certification. And there's different levels of those certifications. You can have like a CAC 1, a CAC 2, a CAC 3. And that the higher the number, the more training this person has had. On a side note, having a CAC or any of these other things does not necessarily mean that you are the best counselor in that specific specialization. It does, however, mean that you've received a standard level of training. So often those two go together. Often counselors who are the best in their field often have that that standard level of training, and then they've done extra work. But it doesn't necessarily mean they have. So you're going to need to feel that out, ask some other therapists, ask some people in your community, and get to the bottom of it. Next, there's a marriage and family therapist. That one is actually a degree program, an LMFT instead of an LPC, and that works with marriage and family. There's also postgraduate programs. that also work with marriage and family sort of work and are additional certifications, those can be really helpful as well. The final one on this list is family systems therapies. There are a few different kinds of systems therapists. There's like IFS therapists, there's specifically systems therapists. You want to find the ones that are right for you. Okay? You may not be able to find a couple of these, just do your best. And as you come up, you'll find the modalities that you need. There's other disorders, or other specializations rather, like every single mental disorder you can name probably has someone who specializes in it. You have counselors who specialize in eating disorders and counselors that specialize in depression and anxiety and trauma. You have counselors who specialize in autism. You name it. Finding someone who specializes in the thing that you are looking for, especially when someone is newly diagnosed, is really important. When they're down the road a little while, when they've done some serious work, it's not nearly as important because they've already done so much work. They might be working on something else at this point, and now they're looking for a specialization that fits what they're going through. You also will look for people who specialize in different populations, like men or women or kids or teens. Every counselor is going to have a specific population that they generally work best with. Line those up and mark those down, because if you can line up somebody who works with, is a woman with someone who works with women, that's just probably going to fit better. I know therapists who work specifically with moms, or specifically with teens, or specifically with kids under age 10. Whatever it is that you're looking for, there's probably a therapist out there who does it if you're in a larger metropolitan area. If you're in a smaller area, it might be harder to find, or you might have to find online resources. Either way, go start digging. Go see what you can find. Go find those specializations, though, and see what you can dig up. Cost. That is going to be a big thing. Some of the counselors that I know charge upwards of $180, almost $200 an hour. Some of them charge about $100 an hour. And some internship programs are in the area of $5 to $25. So if a person has no money, it's probably important to have some low-cost options there. If somebody has just needs the best therapist available, it's important to have those options available as well. Go and find those out. Some therapists take insurance. Most of the best therapists I know do not take insurance. And that's because the amount of time that it takes them to do the paperwork, it's just not worth it. They'd rather just see an extra cash paying client. So go ahead, do the research, see what you can find, put your list together, and that will help you know, when I have these needs, I have these therapists available. You will also have needs that you haven't even thought of yet. They will come up. You'll find out that now you have someone in your church who's adopting and you need someone who works specifically with attachment disorders and adoption. If you have a decent list of therapists, you are much more likely to find somebody. A lot of the time, good therapists kind of travel in packs. So find some good therapists. Those therapists will know the other resources. Ask and tap into your network as you need more of your network. As you need it to grow, let it grow itself. You also need psychiatric resources. Specifically, you need psychiatrists. Those are a great place to start. But you can also look at mental health centers because they have psychiatrists on board or other qualified specialists. Sometimes, in some cases, you can use GPs too. We talked about this as well weeks ago when we were talking about meds. So please, find those psychiatrists and find those mental health centers and other qualified specialists. The thing about running a church is that you will probably need the centers and the major groups for areas around your church. For instance, the church that we used to belong to had people from 5 different counties going to it. It was about 1,000 people that attended that church. But that meant that there were 5 different counties of mental health systems that you had to tap into if you wanted to actually serve those populations. So, find the other major mental health centers, find the other resources that you need, and not just exactly where you are, But you may have to build a radius that you start finding some of those resources around. Next, about psychiatric resources, they often go in through insurance, so mark that down, and there are often exceptions to that. Some of the exceptions are in bad cases you want to go through, things like research universities. For example, the CU Depression Center in Colorado, that's a research center attached to the University of Colorado. You can also think of some of the famous ones like Johns Hopkins University or the Mayo Clinic. There's these groups that do just fantastic work. Please, if you have a really, really bad case, consider these if you have not been able to find good treatment yet. For community mental health, they often offer a number of resources. Often they'll have therapists, peer support specialists who are people with mental illnesses who are seeing training in order to help other people. They'll often have volunteer programs or different drop-in programs. They'll often have different ways of meeting needs. You name it, find out what is it your community mental health center, and find out what they take as far as insurance or payment. Some of them will take no payment if necessary. Some will take insurance. Some will take Medicaid. Find out. Oftentimes, they'll let you do tours so you can see what's there, and you can kind of break the ice and know that you're sending someone to someplace good. Or if you feel really uncomfortable, know that you can try and find another mental health center. Either way, you want to know the people involved if possible. Know also that they're doing a lot more telehealth work now since COVID, so those are definitely more available regardless of where you are. When it comes to community sources, look for nonprofits in your area, especially that support outside needs. For instance, you have drop-in centers and support groups, resource navigation. In Denver, if you wanted to look for some of these, you might find there are nets of resources that don't have anything to do with mental health that you will need. For instance, there's transitional housing, there are legal aid clinics, there are other things that you will need just because it's good to have access to those things. And building partnerships with those other groups and ministries is beneficial for everyone involved. So it's just a really great idea. We're all in the same kingdom. We're all moving the same direction. Let's go there together instead of as separate pieces. Also, you can see peer support is there, and suicide prevention. You can tap into resources such as mental health first aid, or there's even a couple Christian groups that are doing suicide prevention training that are just fantastic. So I will leave some of those resources in the notes for this class as well so that you have them. But please consider things like mental health first aid or Soul Shop or any of those. You'll also want to know what community resources are available, like volunteer arrangements, storytelling groups, upstream opportunities, what nonprofits or ministries or groups of people are doing different work that can help improve mental health in ways that are unconventional. I talked a little bit about this earlier, things like Project Helping in Denver. There's groups that are doing storytelling. There's groups that are doing healing through dance or yoga or meditation. There's a lot of different groups doing a lot of different things. Some of them are going to line up with the mission of your church and what you need to do to help. Find those. You'll also find that there are ministries around your city, potentially. They're already partnering with some of these. You might be able to piggyback on their list and find a lot of resources that way as well. Well, now you've built your list. You've got it. Here's a list of providers. Now you are ready to take on some serious issues. And I'm excited for you because this is where the real work begins. This is where it makes a difference. So thank you for doing this preliminary work. Now let's get to the fun stuff. I'll see you in the next section. Hello.